Hey there, and welcome back to Take One, the podcast that brings you just one inimitable page of Talmud each day. And on today's page, Bava Metzia 6, we settle something that has always bothered me. Have a listen. Rabbi Zera raises a dilemma. If two people together had a garment in their grasp and one of them seized it in its entirety from the grasp of the other in our presence, i.e. before the court, what is the halacha? The Gemara asks, what are the circumstances? If the one from whom it was seized remains silent, his silence indicates that he admits to the one who seized it from him that he is the owner. And if he shouted in protest at the seizure, what more should he have done? The fact that the other person is stronger than him is irrelevant as far as determining legal ownership of the garment is concerned. Why was I so excited to see this question pop up on the daf? Because I am a sucker for crime procedurals on TV. No sooner do I hear the dun-dun indicating that another episode of Law and Order is upon me than I grow giddy, knowing that pretty soon I'll hear beautiful, soothing words like, you have the right to remain silent, as I dive into the reassuring world of police work. But one recurrent idea always kept really bugging me. Watch enough cop dramas or cop movies, and eventually you'll hear some seasoned veteran of the force tell you that there's really an easy way to determine if a suspect is guilty or innocent. Put him in a cell, goes to logic, and if he sleeps through the night, he's guilty as sin, because only a guilty person would welcome sleep's reprieve. An innocent person, on the other hand, would stay up all night going mad with rage and fear, mad at being falsely accused of a crime he or she didn't commit. It's a neat little psychological insight, but is it true? On today's page of Talmud, the rabbis ask the same question. Assume two gents are fighting over this garment, over this tallis, and assume one of them, let's call him Jimmy, grabs it from the other, let's call him Joey. If Joey watches Jimmy, sees the tallis, and says nothing, is he guilty? Is he quiet simply because he knows the prayer shawl truly belongs to Jimmy? Is he more credible if he hollers, hey, give me back, it's mine? Or does none of it really matter? Because after all, in the wise words of the rabbis, what more should he have done? Modern psychology seems to confirm the rabbi's exasperation, giving us an important reminder that guilt or innocence aren't inherent factors that determine behavior, and that the way a person chooses to respond in such situations of interrogation has as much to do with the circumstances of his or her interrogation than it does with having committed the crime or not. Take Saul Kassin, for example, one of the most celebrated researchers of this question. The psychologist became obsessed with the so-called Reed technique, which is the standard practice interrogation technique still in use today by many police departments. It's the one you see in virtually every cop show on TV. The detective walks in, plops himself or herself in the chair, builds a rapport with the suspect, and then tries to coax a confession by alternating between projecting false empathy. Hey, it wasn't your fault. Your neighbor is so annoying. Anyone would have stabbed him. And displaying aggression. We have witnesses that saw you stab your neighbor, so confess. Kassin suspected that this system was broken because it often pressured people, even innocent people, into false confessions. So he set up an experiment. He had a few students complete a task on a computer, and he told them in advance to be sure not to press the Alt key on their keyboards. Press the Alt key, he said, and the system crashes because the machines are wonky. Now, of course, in reality, the computers were designed to crash no matter what you pressed. And when they crashed, Kassin and his associates rushed in and asked, what happened here? At first, most students said, rightly, hey, man, we didn't do anything. We're innocent. But then, when a colleague of Kassin's came and said, I saw you press the Alt key, some of them confessed. Oh, yeah, they would say, we did it. We're sorry. We must have pressed the Alt key with, like, the side of our hands by accident. Yeah, we're at fault. They internalized the guilt, even though they weren't guilty. And many suspects, it turns out, do the same thing, even when accused of major crimes like homicide. Today's page of Talmud, then, reminds us to be very, very mindful when conducting legal procedures of the fact that suspects are stressed and prone to irrational behavior. You could apply the same logic when having conversations, say, with your spouses or your children. Today's page of Talmud calls on us to be just and patient and open-minded and focus more on trying to really get to the bottom of things, to look at the evidence and the circumstances, rather than attempt to determine who is guilty and who is innocent by looking at behavioral clues. Thankfully, folks like Kasson are implementing this very logic in the real world, saving innocent people everywhere from terrible consequences. This has been Take One. If you enjoy the show, and I hope that you do, then you are really going to love the new book just published by me. It's called How the Talmud Can Change Your Life, Surprisingly Modern Advice from a Very Old Book. You can order it now at your local bookstore or directly from the publisher through the link in this here podcast description or through that big online store whose logo is, you know, a smile. As always, please go rate and review Take One on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. You could get your Take One t-shirts and mugs and other swag at tabletstudios.com, and you could subscribe to our weekly newsletter at tabletm.ag/Take One Newsletter. Take One is a Tablet Studios production. The show is hosted by me, Leah Leibowitz, and is produced and edited by Josh Cross, Robert Scaramucci, Quinn Waller, and Ellie Blyer. Our team also includes Stephanie Butney, Courtney Hazlett, and Tanya Singer. For more information, go to tabletmag.com/takeone or email us at takeone@tabletmag.com. I hope we have made your day a little more Talmudic.